Support comes from the Norton Simon Museum, presenting I Saw It, Francisco de Goya, Printmaker. This exhibition features all four of the Spanish artists' major print series in their entirety for the first time on the West Coast. Now on view. More at NortonSimon.org.
You have the chance to win a Spring Super Sweeps from LAist. Donate $60 for one entry to win a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Check out all the other prizes, too, when you donate now at LAist.com/sweeps.
I hope you'll join me coming up later this month. I'm a huge fan of the Prime Video series Bosch, based on Michael Connelly's character who makes an appearance in so many books. You know, as I mentioned on the program a number of times, my grandfather, Arnold Hupka, essentially was Bosch. He was Hollywood LAPD homicide detective in the 1940s and 50s. Very same position that the fictional Harry Bosch has on the television series and in Michael Connelly's books. And I was very excited to be approached by Bosch to have a very small role in this upcoming final season. My voice you will hear at a very key point throughout the course of this upcoming season. And to celebrate Bosch, the final season of the Prime Video series, we are doing an Air Talk virtual event Monday night, June 26th at 6 o'clock. We'll be joined by Michael Connelly, by Bosch himself, Titus Welliver, and many other members of the cast who are going to be joining us to talk about their roles in this series. So it's a virtual event coming into your home Monday night, June 21st, 6 p.m., RSVP at kpecc.org/in-person. We're talking Bosch for a full hour plus. We hope that you can join us to do so. I'm joined now by Los Angeles Times columnist Steve Lopez, who's been writing about the homelessness crisis in Venice and all the tremendous challenges that local officials have been dealing with, residents of Venice, and of course, those living on the boardwalk and in surrounding areas of Venice. Steve, it's so good to have you with us again. I understand you used to live in Venice. Your most recent column is about the crisis there. What's changed?
First, I have to say, Larry, that I am really envious. I've always wanted to be on Bosch.
You should be on Bosch.
And I even talked to, her name is escaping me, but I know the woman who plays the detective, and she said, hey, come on by the set. Did you know that...
Amy Aquino, you're probably talking about.
Michael? Michael was walking through the squad room, Michael Connelly?
No, I didn't see that.
Yes, I spotted him and I emailed him. I said, was that you? And he said, yes, it was. I'm sorry, okay.
No, that's all right. That's all right.
I lived near the Venice-Santa Monica border in, it was the late 90s. And it was six, seven blocks from the beach. And I would walk down there. I mean, I would take the big blue bus to work. I worked for Time Magazine and the LA Bureau, and when I got home, I would walk or ride my bike down to the beach. And come on, you know, you've been here, you're a native, and you know that Venice has always been kind of funky and artsy and at times a little bit sketchy, and that's been part of its appeal, not just for Angelenos, but for people from all over the world. But it has changed, and there are two things. I think one is the gentrification. And the other is, of course, that it's become one of the epicenters of social collapse. And, I mean, it used to be primarily Skid Row, and then Venice developed its own challenges, and Hollywood. I think of those places. Homelessness is everywhere, of course. But I think of Venice now as a kind of a focal point and an interesting consideration for mayoral candidates, which I guess is why Joe Buscaino showed up there yesterday morning to say something about addressing homelessness in ways that it has not yet been addressed. But it clearly is a bit out of control. That's partly because the hands are tied, the hands of public officials legally, because of CDC recommendations during the pandemic. It's partly because of the Jones-Boise case, and you can't remove somebody if you don't have a place to take them. But it's reached the point where a lot of residents are tired and either out of a sense of frustration or compassion for the many people who are suffering on the streets and on the boardwalk. They want to see this change.
I was talking about the population change and gentrification. My family goes way back. My great-grandfather bought a lot on one of the canals and built a couple of little shacks and actually moved in and lived there full-time. It's supposed to be a weekend place, but so they could afford to send my grandfather to medical school. And so they rented out their house in South L.A. and lived in these two little shacks on the canal. Now, of course, there's a huge mansion that's on that. Things have changed dramatically, but I took my great uncle, who recently passed at 99, out there. He couldn't believe how different it looked from his boyhood. But this area has gone through a lot of shifts over the years. But it seems at this point, city officials, Steve, are just completely flummoxed and don't know where to turn. There's resistance to shelters being created in Venice to house people that are homeless. And it seems like the LAPD was very reluctant or feels that it can't step in and remove people.
Right. And here you have Joe Buscaino, who is a former police officer, appearing there yesterday with Sheriff Villanueva and pushing a, come on, we've got to reclaim our streets. And, you know, if it takes police presence to do that, then let's do it. And on the other end, you have people like Mike Bonin. And I did meet with Mike, the councilman representing that district, yesterday. We had a long sit down. And by the way, we had it on Washington Boulevard in a former Ramada Hotel. And I think Mike wanted to meet there because it's going to become a project home key. Room key was a somewhat different operation. With home key, the city using state money is buying hotels, and they bought that one. It's a 37-unit former Ramada, and they're going to be moving people in as soon as in a few weeks. So, you know, Mike's approach has been to do things like that, incrementally address the need and supportive housing. And he, of course, was the one who really promoted the idea of the bridge housing in Venice that a lot of residents said, no, 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 no. If you put bridge housing here, it attracts more people. It's going to make the situation worse and not better. And it turns out, I mean, depending on who you talk to, they may have been right. But when I asked Bonin about this yesterday, I said, you know, they warned you that this was going to make it worse. And he said, yes, but it happened at the beginning of the pandemic. And we were not able to link the people with the services that should have been a part of that program had we not been dealing with the restrictions from COVID. So he's hoping to get that in better shape. But in Venice and throughout L.A., you've got to give public officials credit for doing an awful lot. I think they deserve credit. I don't know of any city or county that has done more. The problem is that it has not been up to the needed scale. And, you know, you provide 1,000 new housing units and 2,000 more people are waiting in line. So those are some big, big issues. And they are going to be, I think, at the center of the mayoral debate, and we're going to be listening very closely, whether it's Kevin De Leon or it's Mark Ridley Thomas or it's Nuri Martinez or it's Joe Buscaino or maybe Rick Caruso jumps in. I don't know. He's always thinking about it. But this is something that I think my sense from hearing from readers on a regular basis is they're tired of the discussion. They're ready to get behind somebody who has what look like workable solutions that can lead to a noticeable difference on the streets sooner rather than later.
We're talking with Los Angeles Times longtime columnist Steve Lopez, writing recently about a Venice couple whose condo's right on the oceanfront, the boardwalk there, and about how they essentially feel prisoners in their own homes. They're very supportive of the people that are living on the beach. They don't blame them, but they're very critical of public officials over how they've handled the growing crisis of homelessness. And Steve, you had yet another violent incident Sunday night, or Sunday afternoon, I should say, where a street performer in his 70s was, you know, punched out and suffered cuts to his face on the boardwalk, what appeared to be a completely unprovoked attack. It seems like we just hear about these sorts of things all the time now in Venice.
Yeah, those videos are flying around the internet. I get them regularly, muggings, beatings. I hope that we don't get distracted by that. I really do, and that's a point that Bonin made yesterday. I hope that we don't end up sensationalizing this. I think that the conversation has to be about what works, what we know has worked, what we need more of, and let's get to it. And as frustrated as Angelinos are, and even I am, on a personal note, Larry, right before you called, I got a call from my buddy Nathaniel. Nathaniel is the subject of my book, The Soloist, and there was a movie based on the book. And it took 1 year of efforts by me and LAMP Community, which is now part of the People Concern, professional outreach mental health people, to get Nathaniel to agree to consider moving indoors. It took a long, long time, and it's taken 16 years since then of managing him and helping him maintain some equilibrium. So I do know that although people are impatient with those on the streets who are dealing with a severe mental illness, and often it's complicated by an addiction, this takes time. You just do what Molly Lowry, the legendary outreach worker, used to call do whatever it takes for as long as it takes and have some consistency.
Yeah, Steve, thank you so much. And as you're saying, magnify Nathaniel's circumstances tens of thousands of times, and the amount of persistence and support that's required to change a life that's in crisis. Steve Lopez joining us, Los Angeles Times columnist with us on Air Talk.
The LAist Spring Super Sweeps is happening now. You can win amazing prizes while supporting your source for local fact-based journalism. One lucky grand prize winner will get to choose a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Other prizes include an electric bike from Juice Bikes and $1,000 gas gift cards. Your donation of $60 gets you one entry to win. And the more you give, the more entries you get. Donate now at LAist.com/sweeps.